Hi, I'm Ben Trefney, news director here at KALW, and I want to invite you to become a member of KALW. We are 70% listener supported, so as you listen to this piece from our newsroom, please make sure to go to the Donate Now button at KALW.org. Thanks.
You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. I have a love-hate relationship with my smartphone. My phone helps me check in on my kids when they're out. It brings me happy news from my family back in Sudan. But it also means getting the bad news, the stressful conversations. And it puts me on this roller coaster of moods and emotional overload. Smartphones are so useful, but so addictive. Sometimes I honestly wish there was a place where there was no phone access. Well, my colleague, KALW science reporter Marissa Ortega-Welch, thought she had a place, but it turns out you can't even escape from your smartphone in the woods.
All right, well, we're going to go ahead and get on the trail. So we'll unplug everything, and we'll be ready to go in like 5 minutes.
Okay, wait, no, can I record the sound of you unplugging things? Because that is the point of the story.
The sound of unplugging.
The guy you hear humoring me is Kevin Mann. I meet him at a rustic resort just outside Mammoth in the Eastern Sierra. This is a popular rest stop for hikers. There's showers, a restaurant, and maybe most crucially, a power outlet.
You just have a rat's nest of wires, everybody charging their stuff.
Kevin's charging his phone, emergency satellite device, and power bank. He unplugs.
Here it comes.
And we hit the trail.
I love hiking.
Kevin's in his 60s and from Richmond, California. He's retired from a career at IBM. Last year, he hiked the entire Pacific Crest Trail from San Diego County to the Canadian border. This year, he's hiking shorter sections.
And that's our bridge.
Today, he and his hiking partner, Lori, are heading north from Mammoth toward Yosemite.
Okay, here we are at a trail crossing. So I'm going to go ahead and open up our app. Here you can see that's where we are, and we need to go to the right.
The app on Kevin's phone has all 2,000 plus miles of the Pacific Crest Trail, plus waypoints for where to get water and where to camp.
So this is like Google Map for hiking. There's your trail.
And then when I click on it, I can open up a detailed description of that spot. So for example, in 4.2 miles, the Middle Fork, San Joaquin River, there's a campsite there. Where the trail meets a big river, there's almost always a campsite.
Without these apps, you just hike to where the trail meets the river and hope there was a place to camp. And if there wasn't, you'd look for somewhere else to sleep. But with these apps, you can figure out exactly how far away the next campsite is. You can even read reviews of it from other hikers.
The latest one was a little more than 2 weeks ago, fire pit, log seating, a river to fall asleep to. I mean, these are just like you would see on Yelp.
This is backpacking in the age of smartphones. Are you ready for the list of technology that people like Kevin are using?
Your smartphone, a charger for when you're in town, GoPro, or some fancy other camera, satellite communicator. You have to have a power bank for your electronics, and a fair number of people are carrying solar chargers as well.
And on the smartphone itself, there's a built-in flashlight and compass. And then there's all these apps you can download that have not just maps, but all this irresistible information that's updated daily by hikers.
Like, how much snow is there on that pass? Is that creek or river still running? Is there a log down that you could cross on? Are you going to have to take your shoes off and wade through it? All that information is on the apps, and that's not on maps.
Smartphones are like digital Swiss Army knives, with everything you need to survive in the wilderness in one tool that fits in your pocket.
So this is the things I'm curious about. As a backpacker myself, what I would do when I got to a large creek, because I don't use these apps, I would probably scout one way, scout another. So I guess that's my question is, you know, couldn't you just look around?
Well, it'll take you 15 seconds to look at the app and tell you whether you should go upstream or downstream.
Okay, this to me is where a smartphone differs from a Swiss Army knife. Your Swiss Army knife is a bunch of tools. If you lose it, you can improvise. Find a sharp rock, cut something with your teeth. But losing your phone isn't just losing a tool, because your phone tells you where you are, which way to go, how to safely cross a creek. It kind of thinks for you. I mean, that's why we call them smartphones, right? Do you have a paper map with you?
No, I don't have any paper maps at all. No, I don't.
What happens if your phone breaks?
My hiking partner also has a phone. We're coming to the bridge.
Oh, and is that where the campsite is that you were thinking about?
We've made it to the campsite by the river that Kevin found on the app this morning. It's a big, flat area that could probably fit about 6 tents. Kevin pulls out his phone again. Because so many hikers are using the same apps, they tend to all get funneled to the same campsites. And Kevin is actually collecting data about this.
So I'm looking at the site, and the first thing we look at is it visible from the PCT?
Kevin is a volunteer for the Pacific Crest Trail Association. It's like a Friends of the Trail group who will share the data with land managers. If a site is too close to a creek or causing hikers to trample a meadow, the group may ask the developers to remove those sites from the app. As for this campsite today?
This looks good.
By now, I'm sure you've realized I'm a little bit biased here. I relish the chance to disconnect from my phone while I'm in the wilderness. But as smartphones become more and more common on the trail, I'm starting to feel like I'm swimming against the tide. Or what would the right metaphor be? Hiking up a landslide? Anyway, Kevin's a generation older than me, but he's way more willing to adapt to new technology than I am.
So I'm 35, and I'm just thinking about how when I'm 63?
63, yeah.
I would bet that anywhere I backpack, I'm probably going to be able to make a phone call.
Wow, that's not going to be great. I don't know what to say about that. It's pretty hard to resist, and your loved ones want to know how you're doing. They, especially on a longer hike, they want to know all that.
Good morning, go ahead.
Are we going to reshot? I think we found him.
Copy, I will be in the west side of the meadow. Should be suitable for a landing site.
Okay, we'll be down there in a sec.
Copy all.
About 60 trail miles to the north, the Mono County Search and Rescue Team is preparing to rescue an injured hiker. A CHP helicopter flies in to assist, and a team of volunteers heads out on foot.
Everybody's good. We did a gear check. We're ready to roll.
Let's do it. Rock and roll.
This is Mono County Sheriff Deputy John Pelichowski.
Last night about 10:30, I got a phone call from a lady in the Fresno area about her son being injured somewhere in the area of Peeler Lake.
Just over the northern border of Yosemite.
The interesting thing about it was the way that it was reported. So he's hiking up here alone, and he somehow ended up injured. I believe it's a lower leg injury. And this particular gentleman that injured had no device, no cell phone, no inReach.
An inReach, a satellite device that allows you to send text messages.
So some hikers came across him with an inReach device.
They were able to text their friend in the Bay Area, who in turn texted the guy's mom.
And she in turn called us.
Because so many people now hike with their smartphones and these satellite devices, people can get a hold of John and tell him exactly where the injured person is.
So that kind of takes the search out of search and rescue.
John can learn what happened and how his team should respond. Do they need to bring a stretcher to carry this person out? Do they need to come immediately, even if it's in the dark, or can they wait until morning? Phones and satellite devices connect him directly with the hiker to get all this info.
When they work phenomenally. But if you have somebody that over-relies on their cell phone, then it can be very detrimental.
Sometimes people get in over their heads. Or they just think they're in over their heads.
We quite frequently get the I'm tired phone call, or I didn't realize how far this was phone call.
Wow, really though? They'll call and just say I'm tired?
Yeah. they'll call and say that I'm tired, or it's getting dark, or I'm afraid of the bears. And can you come get us? Do you have an emergency? No. Then no. You can walk out the same way you walked in, you know, so it's a delicate phone call. I think people have grown accustomed to being connected to one another, and it's almost a security blanket. I mean, when you're in daily life, right, urban life, whatever you want to call it, and you always have Wi-Fi or cell signal, and everybody you know, everything you need, it's all at your fingertips. And then when you get out into the great wide world, the outdoors, the wilderness, and you look down at your phone and realize you do not have a cell connection, I think it causes a little bit of panic.
Go ahead.
We got him. We'll be there in a couple of minutes.
For this hiker today who didn't have a smartphone or satellite device, finding someone who did possibly saved him days of being stuck in the backcountry with an injury. The helicopter airlifts him to the meadow where we are. Paramedics assess his injuries. And this is hard for me to watch. The hiker's fine, but he's definitely shaken up.
I mean, you hike 1,500 miles in the High Sierra.
Wow.
I've climbed 15 peaks.
All right, man.
I've never had anything like this.
Hey, that's why we call them accidents. That's why we call them accidents. Things happen.
Okay? I'm glad those guys came across you, though. I'm glad those hikers were able to get some information out. And
from there, paramedics take him in an ambulance to the nearest hospital. He's lucky.
You could have all the cell phone battery in the world and a cell phone connection, and it could be in the middle of a nasty spring storm. And you can call me, but we might not be able to get there. Mother Nature is still in charge. So it's still wilderness. It very much is.
The whole idea of going into the wilderness is to disconnect and get away from our human-centric world. At least that's how it was spelled out in the Wilderness Act.
Hi, my name's Diana Pietrasanta, and I am the Inyo National Forest Public Services Staff Officer.
It's actually part of Diana's job to think about how technology is changing hikers' experience of wilderness.
Well, the Wilderness Act was passed in 1964 and basically gives the ability for Congress to designate areas where man and his influence does not remain.
This is land set aside and protected. No roads, no cars, no houses. The idea is that these are areas where natural processes can occur and humans can visit, but aren't permanent inhabitants. Hikers have this motto, take only pictures, leave only footprints. But this act was created more than 50 years ago, with cars and chainsaws in mind. Lots of new technology has developed since then. Mountain bikes, hang gliders, drones. Land managers like Diana have had to decide whether or not to allow each of these things in the wilderness.
We had this conversation 25 years ago, 30 years ago in the Forest Service, when cell phones first came into existence. And it was literally, is it okay to even have a cell phone in wilderness? That discussion is long gone. Now it's how to manage it. I was up on the PCT just a couple of weekends ago, and everybody's looking at their phone. When everybody's walking along with their head down and their phones in an application, which is basically telling them what they should experience, it turns out to be, to me, a pretty scripted itinerary and a pretty scripted experience.
And an experience that Diana thinks doesn't really match up with the goals that the Wilderness Act promotes. Naturalness, solitude, self-reliance. But then again, getting to go backpacking in the wilderness or just be out in nature is a tremendous privilege. And Diana says there are ways that using a smartphone lowers the barrier to entry and helps get more people outdoors.
It gives them some confidence maybe to go do something they wouldn't otherwise do. And I think exposure to the mountains, to wilderness, that's all good.
This question about whether or not to use smartphones to navigate the wilderness is connected to bigger questions about how we're already letting smartphones change the way we navigate the whole world.
I think that there is a propensity in modern society that you have every single piece of information, and quite a few people have an expectation that everything's just going to go perfectly if they have enough information and somebody else tells them what to do. And that's just not how nature works. In reality, it's actually a pretty good experience to try to get up something and figure out you can't do it. I think it's an experience that should not be missed.
With climate change, there's no place that can escape the impact of human technology, not even wilderness. And now with smartphones, it seems like there's no place where we can truly escape from our technological devices either. I personally will still be out on the trail with my paper map. I'm holding out on the hiking apps for now. But I will admit, I bought a satellite device so I can call search and rescue in an emergency. I'm a little bit more connected now. And I wonder if it's a slippery slope. In the Sierra Nevada, I'm Marissa Ortega-Welch for Cross Currents.
Marissa is KALW's science reporter. You can reach her at science@kalw.org.